Why don't you turn with me to Luke's account, the Gospel of Luke, and we're just going to look at a few verses in chapter 1. But as we think, there's three things that we'll take away from this little portion of Scripture, and then three, for those of you who are note takers, three things we'll take away from the next chunk of Scripture. But we're going to pick this up in verse 26. And why I chose these two portions of Scripture in Luke's account and Matthew's account is because this is Mary's, what happened with Mary hearing that information about that she is going to be bearing a child and that it would be the Son of God, right? So, I mean, what kind of information is that? Ladies, what kind of information is that? Yeah, it's a lot of information. Just in finding out you're pregnant's enough, but that's a whole nother thing. And that you're not married yet. Yeah, this is crazy stuff. Only God can come up with these kind of things. It's awesome. But it's part of a divine plan, right? It's part of this divine plan that God's working out. And so we pick this up. So this is her hearing about what's happening. So this is what's going on just before he's born. Next week we'll talk about his birth, but this is just prior to him coming. And so this is the 9 months prior to. Now, in the sixth month, in verse 26 of Luke's account, chapter 1, verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, this isn't her sixth month. This is the sixth month. This is referring to Elizabeth, her cousin, who is pregnant. And she's 6 months along. The angel Gabriel is sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, this ideal of betrothal, this is not something we're super familiar with in our culture or in our, you know, society today. But what they did was they had they were engaged to someone, let's say. And their engagement is different than our engagement. They had pre-planned marriages, by and large. They were arranged by the parents, and they could have been arranged even prior to them having, hey, if you have a boy and we have a girl, then how about, or if you have a girl and we have a boy, how about, you know, they make these arrangements. And then even as the kids start to grow, they affirm these arrangements that are made. The parents made these arrangements. Now you can say, well, that just doesn't seem, it doesn't matter what we think right now. That's what they did then, right? That's how it was. That was the kind of an engagement that went on. Okay. Then the betrothal was a more formal commitment that was a year long, and it was a binding, basically a covenant or an arrangement that was made between the parents and between this young couple. And there was kind of they went to the city gates, so to speak, and it was a very formal, legal, binding agreement that they were going to be married in about a year. This is the way the betrothal was. So now Joseph and Mary are in that 1 year stage. That's where they are. They're in the betrothal stage. They're given to one another. So the only thing is the only way you can stop this is through divorce. That's how serious they were about the betrothal. They had no relations with one another. They lived separately. They lived apart from one another. They would interact more than they had been maybe previously, but they lived separate. They were apart from one another because the man is working on building or creating a safe house, a place for them to live in, usually connected to his parents' home. And that's where they would live. So that's enough of that, but that's kind of the backdrop to that. There's a lot of, man, there's great symbolism in this. There's wonderful things, but we just don't have time. And we'll talk about it another time. And having come in, the angel said to her, the angel approaches. This is Gabriel. He's a messenger of God. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among, and it does not say, notice, for those of you who formerly have a Catholic backdrop, it does not say above. It just says among women, not above, but among. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Very understanding of the angelic being, you know, to, hey, calm down, it's okay, you know, that kind of thing. And behold, the angel says, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. I just think of this young person. She is anywhere, that some think somewhere between 13 and 14. Either way, she's very, very young. You can put her at 16, 17, 18, whatever you want, but she's very, very young. I was traveling last week, and there was a real young gal with a little tiny baby, and I was just thinking, oh man, well, this is what happens when you get a little bit older. You start looking at people that are much younger and having babies, you're like, wow, they are so young to have little kids, you know. But it's like that sometimes, and we were very young, Lo and I were, when we first started having children, but this is really, really young. And you can imagine what she must be thinking inside herself. And she said, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? She said, I have not had relations with a man. It's, how would this be possible for me to be pregnant or found with child? This is the part of the virgin birth. This is the aspect that she, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And this is, goes on and says, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So this isn't, this is the Spirit coming upon her and impregnating her in that sense. You know, she becomes pregnant with child. And you say, well, I don't either. This is, God's not asking us to explain all this or anything. God's just asking us to believe by faith that he is able to do that. This story line goes on here. And now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. She was not able. She was barren. She wasn't able to have kids. So God, the angel's trying to say, hey, crazy things are happening, you know? God can do crazy things. God can do the impossible. That's basically, she's trying to build her faith, encourage her faith. And now, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Three things I want to take out of this real quick before we go to the next little portion. You might think on these because this is interesting to look at and to think through. The first one is found in verses 31 through 33. Faith hears what God is saying. Faith hears. Faith is open to and hears. It's receptive to what God is saying. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. This is the statement of what's going to happen. And faith is hearing this. She's receiving this into her being and taking this in. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, not only does faith hear this, faith, and this is important for us, when God speaks something to your heart, this is the next step that gets important. Are you if you're hearing what God is saying, not only what's important to just hear the word that God, this is a word from the angelic beings, a word of God being spoken. Not only are we to hear that, God's word, but faith asks reasonable questions. She's not doubting here when she says what she says. She's not doubting it. She's asking a reasonable question. When you and I are reading the word, it's okay for you and I to ask reasonable questions. Jesus encouraged the disciples to do that exact same thing. To ask questions. And when we ask, God will minister truth to us in response to the questions that we might have. Because what does she say? She says, Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? How is this possible? That's a reasonable question. She heard what the word said, but it was a reasonable question. How could this be? And so the next thing that we can take away from this is the response that the angelic being provides. One, he provides support as he explains that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and you'll be with child. This will be the Son of God. That's in verse 35. In verse 36, it says, now indeed, your relative, this is reinforcing. Again, this is just kind of that answer that is provided, reinforcing, building faith. Difficult or seemingly impossible things are happening, but then he gives this really important truth that I think is very helpful to all of us, because this is her response after this. For with God, nothing will be impossible. This is what Gabriel tells her. For with God, nothing will be impossible. But I really like this in the American Standard Version. The ASV, American Standard Version, it's what they call kind of a wooden text, and meaning this, that it's a very direct translation from original language. There's not a lot of unnecessary verbiage put into it. It's just a very direct kind of word for word almost. So it reads, they call it wooden because it kind of reads kind of difficult sometimes to grasp, but it's very accurate in its translation. And I wrote down what it says for this exact verse, and I like it. It says, for no word from God shall be void of power. For no word of God shall be void of power. That's really a strong statement when you think about what is being said regarding the faith. She's believing on faith. She's asking a reasonable question. This response that's given then is basically no word of God is without power, basically is what it means, or is void of power. So when you and I are reading, when we're reading the Word of God, we want to take this into our being by faith. It's good to ask reasonable questions of the text of God. That's okay. But we don't want to doubt God. We just want to ask reasonable questions. Hey, I'm struggling understanding. What does this mean? Being honest and sincere. That's fine. That's good. But I like this. The response that she has as it's reinforced that there's no word of God is void of power. Then Mary said, okay, if that's the case, her response is, behold your maidservant of the Lord. And I like it. Now, if I was going to write a song, maybe I'd write a song like Let It Be or something like that, because that's what she says right there. That's your third one. Faith says, let it be. Faith does say that. Faith says, let it be. That's only for some of you who are a little bit older. Some of you like older music. But the rest of you are just going to have to look it up. But the idea of just so be it, basically. Let it be as you say. Look, her response is a response of faith, taking it into her, believing God for it, asking a question. But when the question is answered, saying, hey, God has spoken this, and when he speaks it, that is what empowers it. See, it says not only just let it be, but let it be to me according to your word, according to what God has said. That is the empowerment of it. God is going to enable you, enable me to have victory in our walk with him. As we take in his word by faith, that is going to enable you, enable me to walk in it. Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. This is why. We want to take in his word because that's the empowerment is within his word. Now, if I doubt that, now it's not, I've not taken it by faith, have I? I'm questioning. And then James said, hey, if you don't take it at faith, you're going to be tossed to and fro, right? You're going to always question everything. You're going to be all, you're just going to end up confused most of the time. But we want to receive it by faith and we want to walk in it and trust God because that's the empowerment of it. Let's go over. So that was Mary's encounter with God and the angelic being that's giving her this message and sharing this with her. That's what happened to her, you know, these several months, you know, 9 months prior to Jesus' birth. So this is all happening prior to his first coming. What else? Let's go to Matthew's account. And then this is also Matthew chapter 1. This gives more of Joseph's vantage point. So we've seen Mary's vantage point prior to Jesus coming. And what, can you imagine now, they're betrothed, you know, there's this binding agreement between their families and between the two of them that they are going to be married soon. This binding legal agreement. And, I mean, it's a powerful situation. Now, very likely at this point, as Joseph is kind of, she's found with child in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, this is before they were linked together intimately in any way, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, that reads pretty pleasantly and pretty easily, doesn't it? That, you know, she's just been found with child. Oh, okay. So, but think about this. What does someone like Joseph do with that? He's going to be married to this gal. He knows and she knows that they haven't had intimacy. Y'all get that, right? You understand what I'm talking about? Okay. They haven't had any intimate relations. But she's pregnant. Now, Joseph is a regular guy, right? Joseph's not a superhero. Mary's not a superhero. They're regular folk. They're just regular people living out regular life with this radical thing that's imparted to them, happening to both of them. And this is interesting. You know, if you've given your life to the Lord and your spouse isn't saved, that's okay. Something radical's happened to you. That means something radical is going to happen to both of you ultimately. Be patient. Pray for. Be a witness to. Follow God. Because, man, it impacts everybody around you as time goes by. It should. We should be infectious that way. But this situation, now, Joseph finds out. She obviously, she's probably baby bumping. You know, she's got a little bit something, you know. It's probably something's happening here, you know. Can you imagine the conversation between the two of them? We won't get too far into it, but can you imagine how crazy that must have been? They're regular people. Mary, what happened? What's going on, man? Can you imagine this dialogue? See, it doesn't describe it all for us, but there's no way we can't think that that didn't happen. They're regular people. Joseph's like, what in the world? What's going on? Now, no matter what think with me. Guys, think with me. No matter what she says, it's going to be hard to have your head think right about this, right? No matter what she says, it's going to be hard to have the right view of this. This guy's a natural person, just like any of the rest of us, right? It's going to be hard. He knows how this happens. He knows he wasn't a part of it, and she's pregnant. I mean, his mind must be going a million miles. Think about this. We kind of take the humanity out of the divine situation sometimes, but God does supernatural things amongst very natural situations that are going on. He does the supernatural amongst the natural. And so this is one of those cases where it's very supernatural. And so then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, he's a good guy. And not wanting to make her a public example, not wanting to make a spectacle of her or have her, you know, he cared about her. And he didn't want her demeaned by society or anything. That wasn't what he wanted. Was minded to put her away secretly. Like, it's going to be tough to put her away secretly because you got to go to the city gates and you got to get a divorce of this person, because maybe he's saying, I don't want anything to do with her, man. This isn't my kid. You know, whatever the circumstance going on inside his mind, he's thinking this is all what I would consider a natural thought process. I think anybody would think the same thing as what he's thinking. No, I just need to, you know, separate myself from this circumstance. This is no good. But while he thought about these things, now, he might have been laying down at night that night just thinking, oh man, I may just have to deal with this, man. I just gotta, probably gonna have to just, you know, cut my losses and move on, you know, and deal with this. But he's willing, wants to put her away, you know, kind of quietly. While he's thinking about this, behold, an angel, not the angel of the Lord, because if it was the angel of the Lord, it'd be Jesus himself, right? It's not capital, it's just an angel. This is important to note for your own personal Bible study. When you see capital, the angel of the Lord, you're seeing a manifestation of Jesus, the angel of God. But this is not that. This is just an angel of the Lord comes to him. We don't know. Was it Gabriel? We don't know. It doesn't say. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. God speaks directly to the situation. He's not vague. He's not evasive. He's not, you know, using, you know, some smoke and mirror thing. It's not in riddles. It's direct and clear. God knows what your questions are. God knows what my questions are, and God will speak right to those if we will let him. Even in a dream sequence, even in a whatever it might be, God will speak directly to those because he cares about what's going on with you personally, because he's wanting to do a work. He wants to fulfill a purpose. And she will bring forth in verse 21 a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is God's plan. Verse 21, God's plan. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, and this is from Isaiah, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So that's in Isaiah 7:14. Now, think with me. When we read through this a while back, when we started in Isaiah a while back, that's 700 years approximately prior to this event that's taking place right now. We think our nation's old at 200 plus years, right? But I mean, this is, goes back 700 years prior. Something was documented by a prophet of God, the Spirit speaking through the prophet saying, there's going to be this child born. And he said, now, it is quite possible that Joseph was illiterate. That is, was common. That's very possible. But he would have gone to temple worship. He would have gone to, you know, synagogue, you know, that kind of, he would have gone to those kind of things, and he would have heard these things being spoken, because they're wanting and looking for their Messiah. They want the Messiah to come, and this is common speak. They would be talking about this. And so this is not something he would be completely unfamiliar with. Then Joseph, in verse 24, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, we do know, again, for some of you that have different backgrounds, but those of you who have a Catholic background, for example, you know, this is another thing that they believe in, a perpetual virginity of Mary. That's not true. We know that Jesus had other brothers and sisters. We know that to be true. We know that just by this, the presupposition is that they ultimately did have relations. Well, they did, because he has half brothers and half sisters. We know about that from other portions of scripture. So we can see some of these things. It's unfortunate that there's an adding to, but it's not simply not biblical. Verse 24, three things that we want to take away from this regarding Joseph's faith. We had three things from Mary's. Now let's get three things from Joseph. In verse 24, we find faith, and this is the way I worded it. You can word it how you want, but faith embraces God's plan. We know what God's plan is. He's going to bring forth, she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. This is God's plan. And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took to him his wife. He married, went ahead and married Mary. He followed through with what God had told him to do. Faith embraces God's plan. This is why I say this, is because sometimes there's this idea of embrace means I've read this, so intellectually, I believe that God exists. Let's talk about it that way. Intellectually, I believe that God exists. But people leave the planet believing that God exists, but they're about 17 or 18 inches from salvation. They'll perish because just believing that God exists doesn't provide salvation. It's we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is the Christ, right? He's the Savior. So it's not just knowing about it. We live in our environment around us. Cultural Christianity is prevalent, isn't it? People will say that, you know, I believe that there's a God. Well, the Bible says, so do the demons and they shudder. Salvation doesn't come by believing that God exists. Salvation comes by believing that he died for your sins and my sins. So when I say embrace, that's what I'm talking about. Embrace, accepting, receiving that into our inner being is where salvation comes from. Now then we can be born again, right? That's what the Bible describes to us. So this put in action, he did what as faith he received, heard it, but he took action, he embraced that, and he did what the word said. You see what I'm saying? So the same was true for us. We need to do what the word says. Confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, we have salvation, you see? If we start living this out, we start doing what God says to do. So that was number one, embrace God's plan. He went ahead, he took action, he married her. The second one, both of the second and third one are found in verse 25. But the first one is in verse 25, and he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. He did not know her. In other words, he did not have relations with her until after she had given birth to Jesus. He honored what God was doing and acted in godly restraint, honoring God. That's a powerful statement. You know, because in this sense, by all spiritual and technical rights, in a sense, if you're willing to use those terms, would have been fine for him to have relations with her. But God didn't want that. God wanted this birth to be a very special, significant thing for all of humanity. God's working out a radical, eternal plan in redemption. A powerful plan of redemption. And it was set forth before this earth was ever even created. It was set forth before Adam and Eve ever existed. God wanting to prove out his goodness, that he is good and he's worthy of worship. Even though the angelic beings have kind of split apart some of them and rejected, you know, because of Satan's rebellion, as it were, but Satan's, that was his big thing, was, well, we all just worship you. We just want to be like you, you know? We want to be worshiped too, you know, kind of a thing. And he says, you know, you're the head guy here. So of course everybody's going to worship you. You know, this is his thing. He didn't want to necessarily be God. He wanted to be worshiped like God. It's an interesting concept to think through. And then God says, yeah, you know, God puts this plan in motion throughout all time and eternity. He put this plan of redemption. You weren't an afterthought. You weren't a perchance. You have been created to worship God and to declare his goodness even in the midst of your difficulties, even in the midst of your heaviest trials, because all of the galactic realm watches you to see what you will do. And as you worship God and declare his goodness, it debunks, because you have free will choice. You can reject it. You can deny it. You can get caught up in all your whining and complaining, and you're just agreeing with the enemy then. God's dealt you a bad hand, you know? But that's not true, is it? The redemptive plan is in motion. That's so crazy. That was on the house. That was a freebie that had nothing to do with the message. It has everything to do with the message, but it wasn't a planned part of the message. Faith honors God's desire. No physical relations until after the birth. And then the third one, he called his name Jesus. I love this, is that faith speaks the same thing. Faith speaks the same thing. And what I mean by that is when you and I are reading God's word, when we're digesting and taking in God's word, and God's speaking things, right, to our hearts from his word, we want to speak the same thing. We want to speak the same heart. And what I'm saying is, it's not just, you know, the exacting same words necessarily, but it's the same nature or heart. God's language is certainly love. We know that to be true. God's language is that. He's going to speak love. And that's what language we need to speak. We need to speak love, not only to one another, but to a world around us that desperately needs that. I see him taking that exact thing that was told to him, and he did exactly that. He spoke the same thing. He called his name Jesus. Why? Because it is a perfect plan. He is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation of God. That he is that. He is our Emmanuel, isn't he? God with us. To this day, that's who he is. God within us. So those six things, I would say, maybe you could take away, think on those six things. And in light of God's plan of redemption, we know that with Mary, we saw that faith hears. Faith asks good questions. And faith says, yeah, so be it, or let it be so, or let it be. Faith embraces God's plan. We saw that with Joseph. And faith honors God's desire, and faith speaks the same thing. I think those are simple things that we can take away and say, you know what? I want to walk in that during this season. If you do, it will so wonderfully represent who God is in your life. Because this, we are receiving into our being as Christians this rebirth of a Savior inside of us. You have been, as a Christian, born again. Not from head knowledge, but from receiving inside yourself that rebirth of Jesus alive in you. And when you do that, there is something that happens in the spirit realm. There's a transaction that goes on. Your life goes into being a part of God. And the Holy Spirit then dwells within you. Father, thank you so much for this powerful truth of your Spirit dwelling within each of us. That it is possible for us to be born again. That it is possible. Man, this time of year we get so hung up on so many different things, so many sidetrack issues. And Lord, we want to stay clear from that. We want to just focus on you. During this season, even in this moment right now, there's many who maybe have that in their minds that they believe God exists. But it needs to make that transfer into the place of the heart. If there's anyone here this morning that does not know Jesus from the heart, has not confessed him as Lord, there's those of us who are walking with the Lord. There's two other options that could be happening. One, you really have opened your heart to the Lord, but you've gotten distant from him. You're not walking with him anymore. And today is an opportunity to come back to know him. come back into the family of God, come back into that close relationship and start speaking the same thing. And it's also possible that you've known about God, you've heard about God, but you've never ever opened your heart to God. I want to give you that opportunity right now. It's a simple prayer of faith where you just make a open statement of, I know I need a Savior. As the children's program ultimately was stating, we all need, all of humanity needs a Savior. It's part of that redemptive plan. Without a Savior, we're destined for forever separation from God, light, love, and good things, the goodness of who He is. Anyone else this morning? It's your opportunity. Anyone else? Why don't you just repeat this simple prayer after me? Jesus, I want to give my life to you in a fresh way today. I'm open to your Spirit's work. I want to ask that you would forgive me. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me that newness of life this day. I want to walk by faith and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.